Live and Lansing with Michael Cohen. This is More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
6:34, we're back. Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. The state Senate now considering a proposal to expand publicly funded cyber schools, and while supporters say that they provide an effective alternative to traditional public schools, do they really provide the same quality of education? To talk about that, I'm joined by Professor Gene Glass. He's with the University of Colorado, an education professor who recently wrote a report on the topic for the National Education Policy Center. Welcome to the program, Gene.
Thank you. Happy to be here.
Now, from what I've read about charter schools, they're fully interactive, real-time classes which allow for questions to be answered and direct attention from the instructor. Is this, in fact, how most of the courses are taught?
Well, listen to the advertisements, even slick TV commercials from a few companies that run all these businesses, and you might think that's true. The reality is quite a bit different. So-called teachers in these online charter schools are sometimes responsible for 200 and 300 students at a time. They may make phone contact, they may make email contact, delayed by 24, 48 hours. It's not the way it's being portrayed, believe me.
200 to 300 students by a single teacher, that sounds a bit extreme. I mean, is that a typical ratio, or is that on the extreme end?
No, I think that's unfortunately typical of the online charters that are operated by a company out of D.C. called K-12 Incorporated, Connections Academy, for example. The teachers, in some states, the teachers who participate in these online charters are required to be certified in that state. That'd be true for the state of California. In most states, that's not true. The teachers in many of these states are paid between $10 and $15 an hour for their time, and they have to be available all day long. One woman that I talked to in Florida, responsible for 250 students, had to be available by phone from 8 in the morning to 11 at night, 7 days a week.
Mm-hmm. Well, how about the children? You know, some have had a bad experience in public schools, many feeling unsafe in some situations. Is this not a good alternative to the other option they face of being homeschooled by their parents?
It's like being homeschooled by parents. The Florida Virtual Academy that Jeb Bush is now trying to take private and profit-making has 40,000 students in it. 35,000 of them are homeschooled. The other 5,000 are in virtual online charters. So it's hardly any different at all. And a bad experience in a traditional public school, they're probably going to have a lousy experience in these online charters.
Now, in terms of quality of education, I mean, ultimately, a teacher presents material. You know, a lot of learning anything is up to the student themselves to focus themselves on the material, to do their homework properly. I mean, is there any indication that charter schools provide a quality of education that's lesser than that of traditional public schools?
The online charters? Yeah, there sure is. Number one, a kid in a traditional a brick-and-mortar classroom, if he has a question, can ask a teacher. He might get an answer in a minute or less. In these online charters, the situation is entirely different. And plus, it's so limited in what it can offer, piped across a computer into a laptop on the kitchen table for some kid. Where's the science experiment? Where's the hands-on work in science and math? Where's PE? What happened to music? Where's the art course? None of that exists.
I'm talking to University of Colorado education professor Gene Glass, who recently wrote a report about cyber schools. I think part of the initiative, too, behind expanding these schools is the fact that we do have school systems that in schools that are utterly failing their students in a very serious way, with a 40 to 50% dropout rate in some cases. Isn't that something, or isn't something like a cyber school a better option than having students simply drop out when they no longer want to come into the school?
The dropout rate in the cyber charters is even worse. It approaches 60% and 70% in particular instances. So I don't see that as any solution at all. And you have the problem of, in a traditional school, the teacher has a fair idea whether the kid's sitting there paying some attention, turning something in. You don't have any assurance of that with these cyber charters. And I get emails from parents and all over the country who said their kid has seen the cheating in these online charters that is just rampant. K-12 Incorporated, for example, pipes in courses where the kid can, at the beginning of the course, jump immediately to the final exam, see what the questions are, do a text search of the course to find the answer to that question, fill in the answers, and call it a day. Learns nothing, just fills out a test.
But what about the cost? I mean, districts across Michigan are cutting budgets annually now. Wouldn't more children in cyber schools mean a major cost savings as compared to the other option, which may be just a greatly reduced quality of education in the traditional school?
Well, here's what's happening. These companies that are making the money, and they're making tens and hundreds of millions of dollars off of this business, just a handful of them. One of them, K-12 Incorporated, started by Bill Bennett, is listed on the New York Stock Exchange. They argue, they not just argue, they lobby legislators to pay them per child what the traditional brick-and-mortar school is getting per child, claiming that their expenses are every bit as great as the school that has to keep the place warm in the winter, run the school buses, have a nurse on the premises. In most states, they get either 100% of the average per pupil expenditure or something down to about 75%.
And local governments are allowing for this, you're saying?
Well, you bet they are. It's not local governments, it's the state level. And these operations, these companies are masterful at getting these state officials and politicians on their side. They donate in big dollars to the campaigns of people who are like running for state superintendent of instruction and so forth.
It's a bit disturbing what you're saying. So let me ask you, what do we know about students that graduate from cyber schools? Do many of them go on to college? Are they able to succeed in that environment?
No, they don't even get out of the cyber schools. They tend to drop out, as I said, at a very high rate. A few will go on to college, of course. That would be expected, but certainly no solution to the dropout problem.
Look, we've seen this huge expansion of cyber universities, which appear to be, at least on the surface, successful. I mean, do you view the growth of cyber schools as essentially unavoidable at this point?
Unavoidable because of the money that is to be made by these big corporations and how smart they are about working their way through the political process. Yeah, it's growing fast, it's getting bigger, and it's going to get a lot bigger.
Yeah, but parents are not going to put up with a school system, the cyber school system, that has, as you're saying, almost a 50% dropout rate. That certainly is not going to be tolerated for very long, is it?
Yeah, I think it will be tolerated. And it's even hard to find out. Try to find out information about these cyber charters, how many students they have enrolled, how much money they're collecting, where the money's going, what it's being spent on. It's exceedingly difficult to track the money or even track the student population.
Do you think the schools would be better if they were structured in a non-for-profit in a system rather than for-profit as we're seeing now?
A company responsible to its shareholders is not going to function like an organization responsible to its students and their parents. That's just obvious on the face of it.
Well, it's very, I guess it's upsetting to hear this. Now that it's being considered in Michigan, having seen expansions in other states, would you expect these cyber schools to now proliferate throughout our state?
It depends on, how the laws are structured and what the lobbyists can get done. It depends on whether there's a limit to the number of charter schools in the state of Michigan. Michigan was one of the early ones, I know. I know once they started getting heavily regulated in Michigan, a lot of the operations moved out of there and came to my home state of Arizona, where regulation was almost non-existent. Recently, in the race to the top federal program that everybody was scrambling to get some federal money, and almost nobody succeeded, to even be eligible for that money, you had to remove any legal limit to the number of charters in the state. That could have happened in Michigan. I don't know. Michigan has a strong education union. Maybe they were able to block things like that.
Gene Glass, University of Colorado education professor, thank you very much for coming on the show and giving us your insight.
You're quite welcome.